Boys and girls, it's great having you lead us in singing today. Thank you for coming. And you just started out with those little voices inside of you just booming out. And I could hear everybody else singing louder and praying deeper because you were leading us so well. Thank you so much. You know, friends, I would like to use the children just for a moment to enter into the scriptures, because there's an orientation toward life that they have that will probably change for them because it's changed for us. It's a change that I would suggest, might be attentive to. At their age, they focus on how we are all the same and not how we are different. And they focus on how they can give and not what they can get. That's how God creates us. And that's a natural orientation for a child. Somewhere in our teenage years, though, for most of us in church, it changed. We focus on how we are different rather than how we are the same. And in that difference, we're afraid that we're not going to be enough, that we're going to be an outcast. There are lots of ways we describe that feeling of being an outcast. Father Howe and I are focusing on three that reveal themselves in the scriptures last week, this week, and next week. A woman, a foreigner, a lady struggling with her own brokenness, and a community says, "You're an outcast." And we heard about her last week. Today, a man living with a disability, the inability to see. And the culture of his time says, "You're an outcast." And then they lay a judgment on, "You are a sinner. You must have done something wrong. And you're an outcast." He really isn't. And I'll speak to that in just a moment. Friends, I really believe he's a gift to us. Because there's a blindness that we all live with, that his blindness reveals. But there's a question that's asked of Jesus by the apostles. A question that's a common question even today that leads to the good news. And the question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Many of us have asked that question either out of experiences out of our personal lives or experiences out of people we know. And it moves from an intellectual question to a very deep and personal one. There are some answers and there are some mysteries. We can look at sin and its consequences always brings pain and separation. And we can say that some of our struggles are a result of that. The Lord always uses natural consequences and then he comes with his mercy. But that's not the whole answer. There are struggles that are unanswerable, mysteries that we can't solve, that we just merely are invited to live with, because there is no answer. Why was he born with that disability, that inability to see? Jesus says, it's no mistake on his part, no mistake on the part of his parents or anybody else. But knowing that he has it, the Lord wants to use it for his purposes or ours. Let his suffering, physical and spiritual, emotional, relational, intellectual, let it tap your struggles as I invite it to tap mine. And as I've done that over the years, I have discovered that while God is not the author of bad things that happen to good people, he does use them to configure us to himself. I remember a particular struggle I was going through years ago, and a priest friend of mine said, "You are certainly loved by God." I said, "I'm what?" He said, "You're being configured to the cross." And we went on to explain it. Configured to the cross, Jesus entered human life in all its suffering, and he even entered death so that we are not there alone. And as he suffered with his cross, we get crosses to carry, and he's right there with us. He's configuring us to himself. In other words, I have discovered that when we are configured to Christ, when the mystery has no answer to it, there are lessons that we need that the Lord wants to teach us, and there's no other way to receive them. But it's lessons that are so necessary for us. There are things to learn that there's no other way to learn, so that we can either walk closer to the Lord or be more of the people he's created us to be. Here's where I can identify with this man born blind. There are things we are blind to. Things we can't see that the Lord wants us to see. The only windows in this church point out to the historic church and to the cemetery. The builders were very intentional about that. You see, St. Benedict said, "Keep death in front of you always. Keep it in front of you so that you can see what's most important in life." Because he discovered without keeping death in front of you, we pursue things that are important, but not the most important things. Sometimes our priorities get mixed up. There are lessons to be learned, things to see that we might not be able to see otherwise. We did not have much snow this winter. One of the snowstorms we had in the evening, I was sitting in my living room, and the night lights were on, the snow was falling, and it was falling heavily. It was really beautiful to watch. So I'm watching it, and I saw some cars driving down Conroe 24 going west. The speed limit out there is about 50 miles an hour, but not in a snowstorm. And there were people going 50 miles an hour, and as they turned the corner around by the organ, into the ditch they went. Nobody was hurt, thank God. But they were outcasts because people kept driving by them until Medina police came and secured the area and helped everybody through. You know, that snowstorm that night, they were having a tough time seeing. Driving was tough that night, and so they slipped off the road. One of the other snowstorms, I was out driving, and a car that was in the opposite lane coming had only a tiny part of the windshield open. That driver was blind because of the snow and the ice on his windshield and limited visibility. He was putting himself and others at risk. Eventually, the tow truck got the cars out of the ditch. Hennepin County came through and plowed the streets, put sand and salt on, and everything was well. Eventually, those windshields either get the snow blown off of them or the defrosters or the heat of the sun melt all the particles that block and people can see again. I use those analogies to describe what the Lord wants to do in our life. Jesus came into the world as its light so that you and I can see things the way they truly are. That we can see things through the light of Christ. And when we're configured to the cross, as well as other times, that's the sight the Lord desires to give us. That's the blindness for many of us. that he's come to heal. The blind man in the scriptures gets his physical sight back, but it was his spiritual sight, his faith, that was the saving gift. And it's the saving gift open to us. What are the blind spots in our life? I invite you to take that to prayer this week. What are the blind spots in your marriage, in your parenting, in your personality, in your work habits? What are they? And because they're blind spots, we may not be able to see them. Sometimes others can point them out. But if you pray the prayer, "Lord, give me faith, let me see," he will answer it in his way and in his time. But he will answer it. Our culture is blind in many ways. One author said, "Are we becoming blind and anesthetized to the violence that's so prevalent? Are we becoming numb to the suffering that so many people are experiencing? Are we blind to the hurts that our neighbors are carrying as a culture or as a society?" I believe the author has something to reflect on. Greed, anger, prejudice, jealousy, addictions, hardness of heart are characteristics that can blind us. And the Lord wants us to see. And so, as this man born with this disability, as he comes to you and me, he wants to give sight to our human blindness and to our blindness of faith. If you want it, simply ask for it. "Lord, I pray that I might see more clearly, love more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day by day." Lord, help us to see things by the light of Christ, who is the light by which all things are seen for what they are and who they are. Lord, let me see, so that I may experience a concrete encounter with your healing power. Prayers to pray. In the eyes of the Lord, that man was not an outcast. That disability was given so that he might see and we might see. Let's just keep praying for that grace, friends, and be open to its possibilities.